So last weekend, I found myself sitting in a train car. The seats were an emerald green, very comfortable, and looked like they did when this train car was brand new over 100 years ago. The train was being pulled by an old steam engine, its boiler pumping out white-hot steam, while a man shoveled coal by hand into a blazing fire. The train was traveling on one of the oldest still-functioning rail lines, one established in 1832 to bring vegetables and produce from the area around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to the markets of Philadelphia and Harrisburg. As the train kept chugging along, we passed 14 different farms. Some of these farms used state-of-the-art tractors and harvesters, and others still used horses and plows, their homes lit by candles rather than electric lights. And I was there with my two kids and spouse trying to catch all of this moment, all of this intersection of the past and the present, by taking a group selfie on my phone. Visiting Lancaster, PA is like being caught in two places at once. In one place, I'm experiencing the most up-to-date technology. And in the other, I'm stuck in traffic behind a horse and buggy, looking out my window at houses with clothes drying on clotheslines, and fields full of watermelons and soybeans being picked by hand. Being a tourist among the farmers and the Amish means walking in the space where two different ways of life meet. And in our reading from Luke today, that's where Jesus is. He's in that in-between space with the land of Samaria on one side and his homeland, Judea, on the other. In this space, no one story or culture dominates. No one point of view is the only way of seeing the world. Jesus is walking in a muddled place, a place with no firm borders, and a place where anything can happen. Now, these in-between places are not static places. They're dynamic, vibrant, and full of movement. When we run into one of these places in Scripture, our job as interpreters is to notice the movement. It's like if you're having brunch in New York and sitting at a sidewalk cafe and watching the different kinds of people as they walk by. We wonder where they're going, what they're doing, who they are going to see, and what their lives are like. These questions are the same questions needed for our text today. Jesus is on the move, nearing the end of his journey to Jerusalem and the cross. Jesus finds himself walking along the border between Samaria and Judea, with Samaritans on one side and Jesus' Jewish sisters and brothers on the other. In Jesus' day, 1,000 years of history, beliefs, and culture separated these groups of people. Even though they shared a belief in God, they saw God differently. They worshiped God in different ways and in different places. And their history made sure that division rather than unity kept the Samaritans and Judeans apart. Both groups didn't just dislike each other. They viewed each other as alien, foreign, and wrong. They were not supposed to speak to each other, associate with each other, or even live next door to each other. And no self-respecting religious teacher would ever find themselves hanging out in this kind of in-between space, where they might, just might, interact with the wrong kind of people. Jesus isn't supposed to be in this space. He's supposed to be with his kind of people, the ones who worship God the right way and who look and sound like him. But Jesus' mission requires him to go to the places we don't think God should go. So Jesus is walking in the place he shouldn't be. And 10 lepers notice and shout his name. Now, did you notice that these 10 kept their distance? They see Jesus coming. They approach him, but they don't get too close. They stand apart. The diseases Scripture calls leprosy isn't just a skin disease that might be contagious. It's a disease that pushed people out of their communities. The sick would be declared ritually unclean, forced to live on the outskirts of the village while waiting for a cure. Once the disease was gone, they could go to a priest who would declare them clean. And then, only then, could they return to their communities. The lepers in our story stay away from Jesus because they know the rules. They know that if Jesus gets too close, he might be declared unclean just like they are. These 10 are following the rules, so they keep their distance and then ask for help. Now, they're asking for more than just a cure. They're asking for wholeness. They want to be reconciled to their community so that they can live a life full of meaning, relationships, and connections. So Jesus, in his response, follows the rules too. He doesn't heal them, well, not yet at least. Instead, Jesus sends them to someone who can declare them whole. And these 10 have faith. They trust Jesus' words, they trust his promise. So they go, heading out of the scene, away from these borderlands and into a safe place where a priest can be found. And it's on the way to this safe space that one of them notices he's well. Now, I've always wondered how this one figured that out. Did their skin just stop itching? Did that open sore finally close? Or when they passed someone on the road, did that other person not run away? Because the sign of their sickness, the sign of their being different, was finally gone. The text doesn't give us an answer. But it does tell us that of the 10, 9 follow Jesus' command. 9 keep heading to see the priest. But 1 decides to break the rules. He instead comes back. He moves towards Jesus and does an unexpected thing. He falls at Jesus' feet. This healed man, a Samaritan, says thank you to a Jewish rabbi because this Jewish rabbi, this Jesus, did the unexpected thing and healed a Samaritan. And this healing came without prerequisites. Jesus didn't ask the Samaritan to change his beliefs, become Jewish, or prove his status as a good Samaritan before he was healed. Jesus just healed him. Jesus didn't ask the Samaritan to become like Jesus before a relationship was offered. And the Samaritan didn't ask Jesus to become a Samaritan before he said, "Thank you." In the in-between space where all kinds of people meet, in this space where Jesus shouldn't be, Jesus healed. Jesus encouraged community. Jesus brought wholeness. Or, to sum up, in everything Jesus did, he just loved. Now, confirmants, and they all look at me. Today is an awesome day because we get to affirm something that God started a long time ago when you were first baptized. Before you even knew what the Exodus was, before you ever recited your first creed or learned that your pastor would ask you to take scripture and mash it up with what we hear on Top 40 Radio, God knew that the church couldn't be the church without you. Today might feel like a graduation, but unlike a graduation from school, the next step for you isn't off to a new school or a new grade or to try something new. The next step after confirmation is these pews, the places you were already in before your confirmation journey began. These last 2 years of classes, service hours, and discovering that there really is a book in the Bible called Obadiah wasn't only about giving you answers. It was about showing you where God is in your own story. It was about showing where we might find that God that says you matter each and every day. Each one of you is amazingly talented, compassionate, and authentically you. But your story isn't finished. You're still becoming who you are supposed to be. And that's a journey that never stops. Everyone lives in that in-between space between where we've been and where we are going, between the things we've done and the things we hope to do, and between the story we've written and the story we're just starting to write. And when life gets confusing, difficult, joyous, or even scary, when the in-between spaces become very real and we don't know what's going to happen next, know that God is right there with you. When your Samarias are on one side and your Judeas are on the other, and you're stuck there in the middle, remember there is no place God will not go and there's nowhere Jesus will not meet you. God doesn't run away from the uncomfortable spaces because God is already there. And when you find yourself in those places and run into someone who is there too, maybe someone who is sick or worried, someone who is different from you, or someone who you think is completely foreign to everything you believe and stand for, don't forget that being like Jesus and loving like God loves you is always an option. Amen.